The Amazing Race Canada is back on CTV. Fellow Manitoban, John Montgomery, is joining us on the line to talk about the new season. Hello again, John.
Hello, how are you doing?
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
Well, thank you. It's a beautiful day out here. We have this exciting premiere on the horizon. Life is good.
I should tell everybody, you know, on the wall, we've got a wall of fame behind me, and there's a picture of us on the red carpet at the Junos in Newfoundland back in the day. You were at the time known as Manitoba's Golden Boy. I just need to get caught. Is that, do I still refer to you? How do I address you? I want to make sure I get this right. Are you still Manitoba's Golden Boy?
I don't think that I've ever been Manitoba's Golden Boy. You know, in spite of how I may or may not have been referred to, yeah. There's lots of great folks at home. We have one Golden Boy, and he sits on top of our Manitoba legislature.
That's true.
He's painted in gold, and he has some sort of a torch in his hand. That's our Golden Boy. And to try and displace him with this ginger, while I might be a beacon of light because I'm reflecting the sun, I am no Golden Boy. I'd be tarnished to try and carry that lofty title. But you can call me dude from down the street who's the host of the Amazing Race Canada.
This is fun. You know, we're laughing, but, you know, it's regional humor, right? People in Toronto corporate offices have no idea what we're talking about, but we get it. We get it. That's all that matters.
And good. That makes me happy. If they're like, what do you mean? Yeah. I'm glad that you don't get it. It means you haven't traveled and you need to get your ass out of the center of the universe and explore. Go to Winnipeg. There's a human rights museum there. The likes of, you know, the Sydney Opera House, the Guggenheim, whatever it is, there is a fantastic building that celebrates what we should be collectively trying to achieve, which is treating each other with the utmost dignity and respect and equality that you can imagine. And that's what that Human Rights Museum in Manitoba, in Winnipeg, celebrates. And iconography, that's not right, the word. Emblematic of.
Oh, absolutely. You know, I was going to say, we might end up running 20 minutes if we get on the whole thing about injustice in the world. But I mean, it just, to me, it sounds like, we'll talk about the show in a second, but to me, it sounds like you've just been itching to get traveling again. Am I right on that assessment?
Oh, 100%. You hit the nail on the head right there. I don't know if desperate is a great word to use, but I've been desperate to get out there and do what has become incredibly familiar and in every bit as enjoyable as it ever was, which is making television for this program.
Doesn't it make you think, though? I mean, I think a lot of people who, whether, you know, you travel for business or vacation, whatever it is, I mean, we have a new appreciation now for getting the hell out of where we live and going and exploring, as you were just saying, some of those world wonders that, you know, you have all over the place.
We do. And I think that maybe who were descendants of lots of Canadians is a byproduct of that. Canadians that have been here for a few generations now, they are the byproduct of people that sought out a better life for themselves, knowing nothing about the land in which they were heading to for a better life. And it was that possibility that drew them. The same for new Canadians today, coming from afar, whether it's fleeing and getting to maybe choose your next stop or where you want to set up life, or coming here and then bringing family over, as the opportunities born out of being a Canadian are tremendous. That same level of adventure permeates every family and every group of people who get to find themselves lucky enough to call Canada home. So that sense of adventure is instilled in us, I believe, because of the very nature of the fact that we're here and we find ourselves in this country. So that makes the people who are then on the Amazing Race Canada that much more geared up, tailor-suited, and great to watch back in the summertime as we put them through the ringer that is reality television.
I mean, that's what's great about this show, too, right? For people who might not be fortunate enough to travel. I mean, my parents, my dad's afraid to fly, so they don't really go that far. For me, though, in my job, you know, we tape tourism programming, and so I have had the opportunity to go up to Dawson City, Yukon, 4 times, and over to rural Nova Scotia. And, I mean, I will admit that I was probably very ignorant about our country, not realizing that we had these little gems, these little nuggets that are just so uniquely Canadian and so special. You know, that's the Amazing Race Canada is bringing those communities across the country, bringing that awareness, and it's just so special, I think.
It's true, and in a cell phone here, I'll admit that this time the Amazing Race Canada took us to a place where I really struggled because I hadn't done any of the pre-work. I just sort of showed up to pinpoint where I was in time and space and to have been accurately able to identify where I was on a map. And that's a first for me, and it was both disheartening because I should have known, and illustrative of the fact that as well traveled as I am, I can still find myself in a place that I'm completely unfamiliar with in terms of geography. And there would be many Canadians that would find themselves in a similar position a lot of the time if they went to half the places that I was lucky enough to go to. So it was connective, illustrative, and pretty awesome to be able to say that I was now familiarizing myself. It won't happen twice. I'll know what's there, what it looks like in my mind's eye, and then be able to once again be that much familiar with this backyard that is 5 million square kilometers of Canada that we can all make that claim of.
So let's talk about that then, the logistics and the production challenges, because, you know, what we had when Phil Kogan was on with us talking about the American version, you know, they had booked private planes, they didn't fly commercial to some countries. Where is the Amazing Race Canada going? I've got the press materials, but, you know, listeners might be wondering, are you just staying in Canada? Was international travel, you know, a problem? How did it play out this time around?
Well, I imagine international travel would have been another layer of complexity had we chosen to undertake it. But as history has proven with the Amazing Race Canada, what people actually want to see is what's happening here. Mm-hmm. In years past, we've gone far, and our best rated episodes are the home ones, and our best rated seasons are 1 and 7, and those are exclusively Canadian ones. And so if you're going to read into the actual, ratings, then give people what they want, and by all intents and purposes, what Canadians want is they want to see more of themselves, Canadians, at home in these places that they've yet to get to and have already experienced. Because going to a place that you recognize, the Big Nickel in Sudbury, the Goose in Wawa, the Looney in Churchbridge, wherever you are, if you've seen it, it's that same feeling that you get when you're watching a Hollywood movie and you recognize downtown Toronto. You're like, oh my God,
yes,
that's a Toronto cab, that's a Toronto street. Mm. There's that touch point of familiarity which endears it to you on a whole other level of appreciation. And so when we do get to show people places they've been, accents that they recognize or have always wanted to experience, then that's where the magic is at, and if that's what folks want, let's give it to them.
But isn't that saying something? I mean, we have a lot of American listeners, but I mean, there's so much American influence that seeps, I guess, up into Canada, whether it's television, movies, music, whatever it is. I mean, that's so cool that Canadians are saying, yeah, we actually want more Canada. Like, you just wouldn't think that's right, because it's always about, you know, there's better, bigger opportunities, there's more flash, you know, there's Vegas in the States, there's, you know, there's this, there's that, but Canadians are like, yeah, no, we want to see our homeland more. That's really cool.
I think in the way that it's presented as well, when you can shine a light on these things and the production quality screams professionalism, then there is nothing to, you know, to detract from. We always liked the Canadian stories, but we were always left wanting in terms of maybe a different look that didn't look like this got shot with my brother's handycam. You know, that was sort of what we were all wanting. And now there is no difference between the U.S. one and the Canadian one. And if I might be so bold as to say, well there actually is a difference. Mm-hmm. Ours looks way better.
Uh-oh.
And I will say it screw it. F it. Ours is way better. And that's the royal we, put so much time and effort into it. And I know that one fella in particular who's tasked with every scene that I'm in and how the mats look, how the final mat looks. The showrunner, Mark Lizakowski, they pick all these locations, and for good reason, because they're all epic. And then Rob Brunner steps in as the director, and he just makes my scenes stand out from, I think, other host links. He both spends the time and energy to see what other host scenes look like, and then makes a concerted effort to bump ours up to that sort of next level. And if you watch the backgrounds, if you look at what's happening in the scenes, like all the moving pieces and parts, how the people in the background are a part of the scene, it's next level. And to be a part of that all happening, I show up to a location and I have zero input most of the time, marginal at best, sometimes, to how this all plays out. So I'm treated with this unfolding of stuff that I couldn't have imagined upon arrival. The way the scene actually ends up, I'm always like, man, how did you even seen that, to put that together? But that's their job, and that's why they're doing what they do.
Yeah, hold on, I'm just texting Phil Kogan. John says you suck. There we go.
Put the challenge out there. That'll be something that we can see them step up. And you know what? There's elements of what we do that get ripped off, and we see what the Canadian franchise does and how some of the gameplay, how some of the, you know, the franchise secrets are rolled out into other iterations and how they do things that we do. We were definitely trying to differentiate the Canadian franchise from others in the beginning. And having achieved that, we just continue to sort of, I think, elevate the show, the franchise, the formula, season over season. And I think that others maybe have taken notice and maybe taken a thing or two from Canada's playbook.
Before I get in trouble with CBS, let's shift gears then. Casting on the show is very interesting because of the different dynamics, right? Whether it's a married couple, friends, coworkers, maybe even just people who are dating. And you'd think that people go on the show because it's someone they get along with. Maybe they've traveled before and they're like, okay, we can handle this. Do you see commonalities, though? Like, does this experience make a marriage stronger? Does it make me think, okay, I've met my life partner, if I can do this show with them? What's been your observation over the past few seasons?
Oh, it's definitely a litmus test. Doing the show isn't going to make you any better than what you're ultimately going to be anyway. But if you don't survive the Amazing Race Canada, chances are you'd never survive a 40-year marriage. Doing the Amazing Race is basically a 40-year marriage simmered down to 4 weeks. Every, you know, possible challenge that you might encounter will be force-fed you in the pressure-to-perform scenario that is running the Amazing Race. And so it's not going to make you a better couple, but it is a good litmus test. If you can survive it, you can survive a marriage. If you can't, I'd part ways. Definitely find yourself a new partner.
There we go. The Golden Boy giving you marriage advice, ladies and gentlemen. But we're gonna live by.
That doesn't mean winning. That just means surviving and wanting to talk to the person the day after you're done shooting.
There you go. And actually, it's funny because just going back to the Phil Kogan thing, you're the Golden Boy atop a building. Phil Kogan is from down under. All right, let's move on. We're gonna watch The Amazing Race Canada. John, when can we catch it on CTV?
Nine bells. It's nine bells sharp in Eastern Canada.
As we always say, check your local listings. That's just the easiest way, right?
Indeed.
All right.
Visit, though. Set your PDR.
There you go. We'll be watching on CTV. John Montgomery, Manitoba's Golden Boy. Thanks for joining us today.
Appreciate you having me.